Today's scripture reading comes from the book, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In the last couple of weeks, as we have progressed through Advent, this season of preparation for Christmas, we have looked at the story of how Jesus was born, and we've looked a little bit at the different scriptures in the Gospels and how they're different. Last week, we talked about Mark and the fact that Mark essentially does not talk about the birth of Jesus at all, but begins by talking about John the Baptist and his call to the people of Israel to prepare for the ministry of Jesus that was coming. So Mark kind of starts for us in the middle of the story. But other than that, so far we focused in Matthew, and we began by looking at the genealogy in chapter 1, and today we continue in chapter 1. In the genealogy, we noted five women that were named and talked about how that was kind of unusual, and Matthew was very intentional in putting these women in this genealogy, and he was showing some of the exceptional nature of how Jesus was born, and was also showing how God uses all kinds of lives and even unusual circumstances. And we talked about all of the women and how they had some unusual circumstances in their lives. Some of those circumstances were not pleasant, but God used those circumstances because the women were willing. That is, I think, part of the theme that we continue to see today. Today, Matthew focuses in on Joseph, the father of Jesus, the adopted father of Jesus. He adopted Jesus as his own and raised him. But in Joseph, as we also see with Mary, I think the characteristic that is most obvious and perhaps most important is willingness. Joseph was willing when things did not go as he had planned. He was willing to allow God to work in that situation. Both Joseph and Mary experienced a major disruption in their plans. They were engaged, they were betrothed, they had not gone through the ceremony yet, but they were at that point, at that time, the engagement was binding, and you were not allowed to date other people. During the engagement time, the engagement was binding, so they were going to be married. But Mary was with child. We will look more next week at Mary's response to that, and we see Mary's willingness, but we also see willingness of Joseph. Now, when Joseph first hears about this, his thought, his plan was to separate from Mary because he did not want to draw attention to what had happened, that she was going to be a mother outside of their covenant together. And so his plan was to quietly dismiss her and to not raise an issue, even though he could have. He could have been very angry. He could have called her out publicly. He could have called off the wedding and once again called her out publicly and subjected her to all kinds of ridicule, but he was not going to do this. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a just man, and he did not want to do that to Mary, whom he loved. So this was a major disruption in the plans of both Mary and Joseph. They were willing. And I think that one thing that we discover in life, and it's not easy, not always an easy discovery, but if we cultivate within ourselves an attitude of willingness, maybe another word would be openness, kind of explains it a little bit more, but willing, if we're willing to allow God to use whatever circumstances we face, I think that we can discover a great deal of joy in our lives as we experience God's presence in the midst of whatever circumstances they are. We use that word, it's mentioned in the scripture today, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so when we are willing to be open to the fact that God can use circumstances, even the difficult, even the broken circumstances of our lives, we can find that God can use those in wonderful ways, sometimes amazing ways. It's been said that we, and it's true, we can't control the circumstances of our life, but we can choose how we respond to those circumstances. I think the most common way that expression is quoted is that life is 10% what happens and 90% how we respond to what happens in life. Got to be honest, I think there's something to that. I'm not sure that that's entirely accurate. Of course, 10%, 90%, that's not intended to be a scientific equation or anything. But it is intended to highlight that we have the ability to respond to circumstances in our lives, and how we respond makes a lot of difference. And once again, we see this with Mary and with Joseph. They were willing. Mary was willing. Her plans were disrupted too. She was planning on having children, but she was planning on having children after she was married with Joseph as the biological father. There was kind of a difference there. But they were willing. When it talks about how we respond to circumstances in life, that is pointing out to the fact that we can't control everything that happens. If we could, most things in life would probably go a different way than what happens. We can't control circumstances. We can do some things to control some things, but we can't control everything. We can't control the family that we're born into. We can't control our experience in that family and whether we had good parents or so-so parents or bad parents or whatever. Things happen along the line in school and as we grow up that we did not control. They just happen. But we do learn and grow as we figure out how we want to respond, and as Christians, what it means to be faithful in response to the things that happen. So as I talk about this willingness, and what I want to suggest is that as we continue in Advent, the coming just short amount of time of preparation that we have left, I want to suggest and ask you to consider that attitude of willingness. And to what extent are we willing to have God work in our lives no matter what the circumstances? Maybe to help us with this, I think it might be helpful to talk about what the opposite of willingness is. And I think the opposite of willingness is willfulness. Willfulness. Is there anyone here who is willful at all? Me neither. We had a couple of honest people back there. I know y'all are all thinking, yeah. When I think of willfulness, and this may not be fair at all, but when I think of willfulness, I think of children. And I say that that may not be fair because I know you people and I know myself. And very often we are just as willful as children are. But I can't help but thinking about children. And I'll talk about this one right here because I was told early on that I was very willful. And one of the things that I remember, I must have been about 6 years old. I had done something, I don't recall what it was, but I had been put in time out, basically sent to a room, not my bedroom. I was sent to an office that we had in the house with nothing to do, just sit there, and you can come out when you say you're sorry. And I think I was in there for about 2 hours. Two words, I'm sorry. So it would have been so easy. But I willfully stayed there in literally at least an hour. It was a long time. The thing is that when we are willful in any way, and I'm not just talking about children because, like I said, I know you people. We all have that willfulness. That's part of being human being. But when we are that way, it doesn't leave much room for God. When we are full of our own will, then there is not willingness. And if there is not willingness, then God really can't come in and work in whatever the circumstances are. Jesus grew up and he began his ministry. And one of the characteristics of Jesus in his ministry, not of Jesus, but of the people around him, was the willfulness that they expressed. Jesus began teaching and talking about the kingdom of God and of grace and forgiveness and love and loving your neighbor. And there was much willfulness. There were many people that Jesus was not the Messiah that they were looking for. And because they willfully had an idea of what the Messiah would be, and just as a reminder, the Messiah was the Savior that the prophets had talked about, that would come and lead the Hebrew people to freedom. At this time, the Hebrew people, they had been through the exile to Babylon. They'd been kicked out of the Holy Land. Many of them came back by this point, but they were still dominated and the area was ruled by the Romans. So the Hebrew people did not have their promised land. And so we see in the life of Jesus much rejection of Jesus and his message. Once again, I think that was willfulness. The people had an idea of how they wanted things to be, what they were expecting. And so when the actual Messiah came, and he looked different and acted different, and he did more preaching about the kingdom of God than he did marshaling the troops, many people willfully resisted him. Once again, when our hearts are filled with willfulness, is there really room for God's will to be present and active within us and within the circumstances we find? So we have a week and a half left, roughly, of preparation. During that time, I hope you'll think of Mary and Joseph as an example and remember their willingness in a very difficult situation, an unexpected situation. But remember how that willingness created joy for them in an unexpected way. And their willingness also has created joy for us in a way that we wouldn't have imagined on our own. So I think the preparation, this considering and cultivation of willingness, it affects our ability to receive the Christmas gift. And of course, once again, that gift is Emmanuel. God is with us. May we be willing. Let us pray. God, we thank you for Joseph and for Mary. We thank you for a Savior. And God, we pray that you would help us to be willing in our lives. Help us to prepare during this season so that we can experience the gift of Christmas, Emmanuel, that you are with us. God, I pray that we could begin a new year, 2020, in such a way that we more than ever before know that you are with us in our lives. God, we pray that as we receive that gift, that we would be filled with your joy, your peace, your presence, and your hope. We thank you for all these gifts, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.